Good morning, church. Yeah, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our glorious King, we thank you for this precious time given to us to assemble here in this building in order to worship you. We want to worship you through listening to your word, and we beg that, Lord, you use me to give it to us for our growth, for our good, for our edification, and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. I grew up in a family that believed in witchcraft. And my dad used to bring a witch doctor in our home. Yeah, he did a lot of things. And we grew up knowing that that guy was very powerful. Yeah, yes, he was the strongest witch doctor in the town. And after getting saved many years ago, I loved Christ, but I also lived my Christian life with too much fear. I feared what you call demons so much. Yeah, the witch doctors. Yeah, we grew up knowing that they fly in the night. Yeah, even you, I know you might be here and you fear them so terribly. Until when, by the Lord's grace, he opened my eyes to the truth of Scripture. To understand the power of God. Last Sunday, we looked at one attribute of our great God. That's the oneness of God. And I want us to look at the power of God today. Again, chapter 2 of the Westminster Confession of Faith says, there is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty. Yeah, I'm leaving it there. Almighty. So as we look at the power of God this morning, God calls you to worship him because of his unfathomable power. God calls you this morning to worship him because of his unfathomable power. What is power? As we focus our attention this morning to the power of God, the Dictionary of English Language defines power as, it's an ability to do or undergo something. An ability to compel a person to do something or compel him to abstain from doing something. That's power.
Amen.
The word referred to when talking about The power of God is omnipotent. Yes, okay, this is the last of the three omnis. We have omnipresence. Yes, God is everywhere at the same time. And we've already looked at that when we looked at God being a spirit. Omniscience. Yeah, it means that God knows each and everything, even your thoughts right now where you are seated. And today we are looking at the omnipotence of God. It is a combination of two Latin words. Omni, which simply means all, and potent means power. So the word all-powerful in the Hebrew language is called El Shaddai. And what does it mean that God is all-powerful? It means that He not only has ultimate power over all things, which is true, but it does not stop there, but He is also the source of all power. Whatever you call power, whatever you can imagine as power, even Pili-Pili, who used to scare us when we were young at our home, whatever you can call power, God is the source of all power. He is limitless in strength and ability to perform His sovereign will. Nothing can limit Him. Nothing can stop Him. It's through His limitless power that He puts in place all that exists. Everything that exists, you and the rocks and the mountains, through His power, yes. Though the Lord's power is unfathomable, but we can catch a glimpse of His unsearchable might by considering some of the things He has made. As Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Okay, very many passages in the Bible talk about the unsearchable power of God. Many. But I decided to show you the wonders of God's power in the book of Job. Turn with me to Job 38. Job 38. I'm only going to read the three first verses. And he says this: Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. This is God's word. So we are going to expound these three chapters this morning. And our first point says, ignorance of God's power is the reason why you always talk against Him the way you do. I repeat, ignorance of God's power is the reason why you always talk against God the way you do.
obutamanya maanyi ga Katonda Yesu nga lwaki oyogera ebigambo eri Katonda.
Almost the entire book of Job is Job's attempt to prove his innocence before his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, but also before God. Why do I have to suffer like this? Job questions. I know very well that I am innocent. So before Job, God seemed totally arbitrary in the way he distributes sufferings and comforts in this life. That he gives to some people pleasure, joy, and other people suffering. So now why am I suffering as Job? God is not fair. Why should the righteous suffer? Yet the evildoers are enjoying peace, health, and prosperity. You know what happened to Job? And Job started well, his journey well. After receiving the bad news about the death of all his 10 children. The Lord had already talked about him as being a righteous man. And he had that in the depth of his heart. He also knew that he was righteous. It's not only God boasted about him before the devil. He knew it very well. The way some of you this morning here in this room know that you are righteous. Is that bad? No. But there's a problem somewhere. Yes, because he was righteous, he took everything normally. Remember, he had lost all his wealth. And then all the 10 children were dead. I think some of you here would have endured the loss of wealth. But when it comes to the death of your beloved children, you say, no, this is too much. But Job had endured. The Bible says that he fell on the ground and worshipped God. After losing everything, he is still worshipping. And he said this, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord has given, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. He's still a righteous guy. Bill, I don't think I could really behave like this. I need more grace. So as we continue in chapter 2, Satan is given permission to touch even his skin, his health. And somewhere there it said that a human being can give everything he owns for his health. So the devil struck him with loathsome sores. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And this is when, in chapter 3, first the faith of his wife gave way. She was still with him. That was also a strong woman, trust me. After losing all the wealth, all the 10 children, but she was still near the husband. Can you manage that, my sisters? But at this point of the health of the husband, her faith gave way. As any other human being, Job's faith also was shaken a bit. And he started questioning God. The wife has already declared her mind. Are you still trusting this God? Just curse him and die if it's to die. And you remember the answer of Job. Why do you also speak like one of these foolish women? You want us to receive only good things from the hands of God? And we don't receive bad things? I don't know, those who preach prosperity in this city, whether they can preach on this passage. How can they? I just wonder. My friend Pastor Kayanja and Bujingo and Serwada. When I want to name names, I do name them. Prosperity, you'll be fine. You'll go to America, you'll be rich, you'll drive yourself. Have they ever preached from this passage? If yes, how? If any of you come across one of their sermon on this, please share with me. I'd like to hear how they go about this. Do you want us to receive only good things from the hand of God? But finally, the pain becomes too much that Job says, no, enough is enough. And he starts questioning God. And he says, he started by cursing the day of his birth and wishing he could die. The faith of this man is being shaken. He continued by asking many questions to God, like, why didn't I die from my mother's womb? Chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Why do you still preserve the life of someone who is in misery? Verse 20. And Job continues complaining. In chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, he says, my life is futile and empty. There's no hope. Chapter 13, verse 3 says, I would like to speak to the Almighty. I want to face Him. And I desire to argue my case with Him. What have I done wrong? I know I'm innocent. If only I could meet him. He's asking it himself. Chapter 19, verse 6, he says, know that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net around me. A net. Point number two. Point number two. Before I go to this, so I've shown you how Job behaved when his faith was shaken a bit. How many words do you speak against God every day in your life? He has forgotten about me. Can't he look at all this poverty in my life? Even transport to go to church, I don't get. Does he really hear my prayers? And I've been praying for a husband for many years now. Where is that wife? I don't see them. And school fees, tuition. You complain against God every day. And you talk and talk and talk. Those of you who are not yet born again, you just say, let me live my life. And some of you are already born again. You continue complaining like Job. Deep inside yourself, you know that you're okay. I'm a child of God. It's true, you are. It's true. But have you ever thought about the sin of self-righteousness? I don't know. I think about it every day in my life, myself. Because yes, you've abandoned fornication and adultery. So now, at my level, I cannot again sin like that. I can't booze. I can't fight. But you are a big Job in your own realm, in your own kingdom. Oh, reformed believers, please let's be praying for humility every day. Look at them. They're just a few meters from here. Look at them. Mutundwe. They are there. They're not like us. But they, Richard, do you know scripture? Do you understand scriptures? No, you don't. You people, you don't understand scriptures. They only preach you prosperity. But we understand scriptures. Come, let me show you. And if you explain a passage, and then they ask you, how do you guys understand these things? They're again raising your pride. Self-righteousness is a serious sin, friends. It's a serious sin. You think you are better than others. Our church is the best in Uganda. The sin of self-righteousness. And who among you does not have it? Okay, those of you who are not saved, this is not for you. Because you cannot be self-righteous if you are in the world, in your sins. I'm now talking to you who believe that you are the Lord's. And I'm not saying you are not. But have you ever checked the pride in your heart? Look at your friend Job, your brother. Imagine if he wanted to meet the Almighty and ask him what he had done wrong. What about his friends? And if you go through those chapters before 38, you'll see how he had one is the three friends, he had put them down. I'm innocent. And they all raise their hands. So he wants now to leave his three friends and go to the Almighty. I'm innocent. Mr. Innocent or Mrs. Innocent here this morning, this word is for you. Point number two. Knowledge of God's power should push you to hate yourself and then repent in dust and ashes. Did you see our first point? How do you relate it with the second one? The first point, the ignorance of God's power is the reason why you talk against God the way you do. And here now, the knowledge of God's power should push you to hate yourself, and that hatred should push you to repentance. Now, in chapter 38, 39, 40 and 41, someone comes on the scene. From the beginning, we are hearing Job talk. The three friends came and they've been talking and talking. Then Elihu came last, because if you read the book very well, you'll see how God had defeated, had won the argument over his three friends. But also Elihu came and won Job. And now God comes to the scene. Do you remember how he wanted even to meet the Almighty and defend himself? The guy has come. So now we are in verse 38. God breaks his long silence. And is ready to answer Job's questions and complaints. And God's reply in these chapters is the heart of my sermon today. As we examine the unsearchable, unfathomable, glorious power of our great God. To answer the questions of Job, God did only one thing. Talked about his creation. Just that. And it begins in 38 verse 1. He says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. First, see how he wants to talk to him. If such a whirlwind came here now, even before you hear any voice, and all of you have taken out, I mean, taken off, you run away. But he said, verse 2 and 3 is the introduction to his long sermon. And who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Or just simply in our words, I can say, who is this who's talking foolishly without knowing anything? Dress for action like a man. You wanted to meet me? I've come. Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you make it known to me. Job died many years ago. These words are for you. You've been questioning him. He has forgotten all about you. He does not love you. Does he really know me? And he's asking you, dress yourself as a woman. Dress yourself as a man. And he begins. So now, you see that the unfathomable power of God, I told you that he is answering just by showing him his power in creation. And it begins with his unfathomable power in creation. And it begins with the creation of the earth. Verses 4 through 7. I'm not going to read everything, or else I can end at 4. But in creation, he asked Job the question. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Don't forget, I've said these words are yours now. Where were you? Tell me, if you have understanding. So now, God is informing Job that, no, even where you live, I created. The earth where you live, I am the one who put it there. Do you understand how huge it is? The earth is big. I wish I had time to share with you all the research I made on these things. The earth where you dwell hangs in space. What is its foundation? Do you know? You find somewhere down there, it says, can you show me its cornerstone? Where is the foundation of the earth? It's nowhere. It's just hanging in the space, in the air, with all other planets. And it shows you some of the power. Remember, I told you that God to be all powerful, it means that He created and controls every power. When you just try to make some research on the earth, you'll be amazed. It has power more than human beings together can manage. With all your advancement in technology. Katrinas, you've seen the Katrinas, tsunami, tornadoes, earthquakes, floods. Up to these days, human beings have failed to control them if they decide to come. All of those, He created them. And He controls them. And I was reading last night. You see, the sun, I'll come to the sun. But just quickly, they say that the sun is extremely hot. 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's extremely hot. And according to scientists, the center of the earth, deep down there, is just as hot as the surface of the sun. Can you believe it? Don't you see the volcanoes? There's fire down there. Yeah, the magmas just look for where the soil is not strong enough and poof. There's fire down there. But we live here. We thank the Lord also for technology. God gave human brains just power to know some of these things so that we can tremble before Him. Just that. The core, the center of the earth is just as hot as the surface of the sun. Up to these days, human beings have failed to control the power of volcanoes. The power of earthquakes. If God wished, there can be no New York tomorrow. It can't be there. All those skyscrapers can be down on the ground. He created the earthquakes. He created the power in the earth. He created the power in the sea. And when you continue down there. Okay, let's continue. Let me show you. So I'm talking about different powers, natural powers that God put in place. That's why He's called all-powerful. Because it does not mean that other people, other things do not have power. They do. Even you who fear Satan, yes, he has some power. We used to whenever you reach a certain shrine and you start throwing fire. That's fear. Fire. That's fear. That is your trust me. I was a pastor for more than 7 years. But fearing demons like nothing. And you hear them in their churches, chasing demons every day. That's fear. So after talking about his immeasurable power in the creation of the earth, again, please, when you get back home, go through these chapters, 38 up to 32, 42. In verse 8 through 11, he talks about his creation of the sea creatures. Or who shut the sea with doors? When it bursts out from the womb. Which womb? Where he brought it from. 11, he says, and said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. We who grew up near lakes, you can testify what the Lord is talking about here. Sometimes you see in the evenings, it's windy and Lake Victoria is really angry. And you see huge waves. When it's coming from there, you say now it's going to reach those houses. But when it reaches the limit where God's word says you have to end here, it ends there. This is the tsunamis, the tornadoes, they bring water. He allows them because of your sins. He continues. He goes and talks about the size of the earth in verse 18. I'm really jumping. Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this. Job is quiet, right? He's following. So tell me, you should be knowing. Then he goes down in verse 22 to talk about snow, hail, rain, and frost. Verse 22, have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of hail? Then it comes down to chapter 31, talking about the heavenly creatures. There you find the sun, the stars. I read something about the sun vis-a-vis our earth. And I feared, friends. Haven't I told you that the earth is huge? Yes, it is. But do you know what I found out? That our sun, its temperature, the temperature I gave you first was not the temperature of the sun. The temperature of the sun is 27 million degrees Fahrenheit. 27 million degrees Fahrenheit of this sun. The sun is huge. Over 1 million, scientists say, over 1 million Earth would fit inside the sun. Yes, could fit in the sun. This earth of ours, 1 million of them can fit inside the sun. How big is the sun? Yet, this sun that can accommodate 1 million Earths, according to the scientists, it's the smallest star. Yeah, it's one of the stars, but the smallest. And I was following Louis Giglio. He is a person in the U.S., but he makes more research on the space things and what. I like what he wrote in his book, Indescribable. They've given these stars names. Astronauts have given them names. There's a star called Red Supergiant. Which is 1,500 times bigger than our sun. Just try to imagine how big that is. It is the most massive, I'm talking about the red supergiant. It's the most massive and the brightest star in the known universe. It has a luminosity of 8,700,000 solar units. Sorry, brother, I knew. Even from home, I knew that you'd struggle with this, but I have nothing to do. So I hear that the energy that the sun, the smallest star, the sun, the energy that it sends down on Earth per second is bigger than all the energy that human beings have produced from Adam to now. So it's there, I mean, roaring with its power that it got from God. It's too powerful. That the scientists say that if only it came down 1 inch down from where it is, we burn to death. To show you how powerful the sun is. If it's taken an inch up, we freeze to death. Are you seeing again the goodness of God even as we explore his power? You see the goodness of God, friends. Without this sun, no crop can grow, can leave the ground. You see the power of God mixed with his goodness. Now, the energy of the sun is unimaginable. What it sends here per second is more than what human beings have produced from the beginning of life. And then they say, this red supergiant star, which can accommodate 1,500 suns, it shines brighter. 8,700,000 solar units. Meaning that it is 8,700,000 times more powerful than our sun. And all the stars, big or small, received and still receive their power from El Shaddai. And they all could not exist without his power. Have you started seeing now the reason why some of us Don't fear now anything these days except God. Except God. Which doctors? Let them be there. Okay, let them be there. If they want to use my compound to go the other side, it's okay. No trespass, you can trespass, but I have no issue with you. Yes, I'm the servant of God. If you want to use the space of my house to go the other side, you go. I have no issue with you. Think a bit about this size of super giant star. It's really unimaginable. Listen, yet just one galaxy, just one galaxy holds over 100 billion supergiant stars. Now, how big is a galaxy? If such huge stars are there in one galaxy, over 100 billion, how big is a galaxy? Yet, the universe, because the earth is inside the universe, the moon, the stars, this galaxy is. Now, in this universe, are we together? One galaxy has got over 100 billion huge stars. And now, inside the universe, human beings have just found over 100 billion galaxies. Oh, this is incredible. Now, how huge is the universe? Friends, this is the God we are serving. I just tremble for you who are still sinning against such a God. I tremble for you who's behaving like Job. You know, you are everything. In Isaiah 40:26, God says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and call them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, the God of the Bible, not one of them is missing. Because of his power. And you're still fearing Satan? Natural powers are all still far stronger than man and his advancements. When you compare other powers of the nature, we are totally nothing. Now, when you try to look at one super giant, even the super giant is big, even our earth, and look at the human being, it's even an ant is big. But hey, when you are flying, it does not take you far to stop seeing any human being. You don't need to go very far. We are nothing without God, friends. And you look at yourself in the mirror. You say, I'm beautiful, I'm handsome. And you want to disturb brothers if you're a sister because of your beauty. You want to disturb sisters if you're a brother because you think you are handsome. You are nothing. I cannot. Let me talk about God's power over Satan. He will throw him into the lake of fire, the Bible says. The one you fear like nothing is nothing before a great God. When you go home, this is a Sabbath, our Sabbath day. Don't just after church you go and start backbiting people with your neighbors. Sit down and read, go through these passages. You can do them, you can go through them today. Yeah, because I don't have really enough time to take you through all this stuff. But let me just take you quickly to Job's repentance. Chapter 42. Yeah, I'm now scared with my time. I'm leaving a lot of things out. Time is my enemy number one whenever I'm preaching. Job 42, verse 1 through 6. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Before that, let's go to verse 40. The Lord gave him some room to say something. Yes, because I've been talking to you. You are not saying, Job, tell me something. Verse 40, verse 1, chapter 40. And the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. Tell me something. And in verse 3, Job says, then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am of small account. After hearing all this gigantic thing that God has created through his power, now he sees his smallness. I am of small account. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand on my mouth. I have spoken once and I will not answer. Twice, but I will proceed no further. I'm short of words. But you are still talking. You don't know our God. You don't know him. Then in verse 42, then Job, after God has finished everything he wanted to tell Job, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things. You see, we are looking at omnipotence of God. Job's bring their omniscience. Now, he was righteous, but he had not known God well. Mr. Righteous, Mrs. Righteous, this morning is for you. If you think you've understood God, you still have an ocean to learn. Mr. Righteous, this morning, you know nothing yet. God himself said, this man is righteous among all other people there. Listen to what he's now saying, his conclusion. I know now that you do all things, you can do all things. And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You want God to give you only riches? Obugaga, moto kanangi. Oh, he can give you whatever he wishes to give you. If he wants to give you poverty until you die, it's okay. He continues saying, verse 3. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? He's copying from God's word. He's quoting God's word. talking about himself now. Who is this foolish who was talking without knowing anything? Talking about Job. Job is talking about Job. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand. My brother, my sister, do you know what you talk about every day? I had a drunkard in a taxi say, when I reach heaven, I'm going to ask God, why did he give me poverty? Why did he allow me to be poor? Yeah, this is what Job is saying. I uttered what I did not understand. And Wilson Bugembe also sings what you call gospel music, and you listen to it. Rubbish. And you see, Bessie J at the gate of heaven, he first enters there, and then the angels bring him back. Say, no, I cannot suffer in Uganda and they suffer again in heaven. Well, you reach there to do what? Friends, he says, I uttered what I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. So, RBC, we believe that we are trying to serve God the way we think he can be happy with. We try. But we are still far from pleasing this God. We know it very well. We know it very well. And if we are here, it's because, Bill, I said, it's better here than elsewhere. Not that here I've reached, I've arrived. But here it's better. As we continue praying and crying for his mercy to help us understand things that we don't know about him. If a righteous man is now learning God now, what about you that people know you are not righteous, your neighbors? Verse 4, he says, hear and I will speak. I will question you and you make it known to me. He's again quoting just the words from the Almighty. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Have you ever seen God? Yes, I know every Sunday you come to RBC. And you hear about him. You hear about him. Can you cry today that he helps, he opens your eyes to see him? I've been hearing about God. And hearing about you made me righteous. But I've seen you today. I didn't understand you like this. Therefore, because I've seen you, therefore, I despise myself. If this has never happened into your life, you are not born again yet. You can manufacture your testimony of conversion. But if something like this has not happened into your life, you are not yet born again. Automatically, you have to hate yourself. Hate the things you used to love. And start loving the things you used to hate. But here you say you are born again. You got born again last year. 2019 maybe. But the thing you used to do in 2015, you're still, nothing has changed. No, there's a problem there. There's a problem there. We all hated ourselves. And we are still hating ourselves. Why, Bill, the whole Bill, I can do like this, I can speak like this, I can act like this. Why? Job hates himself. And he says, and I repent in dust and ashes. Forgive me. Forgive me. Yeah, when you hear me shout, it's because of where I know God brought me from. Even singing, I want to sing louder than everyone here. If this vocal cord is going to burst, let it burst. I want to shout here so that even those who are passing there, one can hear at least a word. He saved my life. You don't know me, but I know myself, and he knows me. I'll shout until they throw me to jail. God's power over in salvation, and then end it. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." So we are talking about the power of God. And this gospel that you despise every day, God himself said that that is his power for salvation. So in other words, this is the biggest miracle. Yes, as my pastor David always tells me and makes me remind of this, we don't need the lambs to walk. We don't need. If they want to walk, let them walk. But they will die and go to hell if they don't experience this power. So, for a soul to come from the kingdom of darkness into this of light, you need the exact power that brought our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not easy. This begging God of yours is not the God of the Bible. Yes, you grew up, they are teaching you about this begging God. Look, he stands at the door. He's knocking. Open for him. He's knocking. Open for him. And up to now, you are saying, no, I'm not ready to open now. Yes, one of my friends, Godwin, told me point blank, I'll open when I'm at least around 50 years old. I'm still 28. I'm still enjoying life. Yeah, when I reach 50, I'll open the door. This El Shaddai, does he need you to open the door for him? So it you need the same power of God to break your stony heart. Ask yourself why you listen to such preaching every Sunday, but nothing is changing in your life. Nothing. Jeremiah 13:23 says, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard its spots? Neither can you who do evil things, neither can you do good, you who are accustomed to doing evil." It's impossible. Yeah, this was a 3 hours, long sermon. I'm just breaking into to fit into 1 hour. Sorry, forgive me for today. And I've really not done what I wanted because of time. Can we have a seminar just on the power of God? 3 days. So I'll share with you all the discoveries that I got all throughout the week. Even the weight of light, the weight of light, how it's weighing on us here. I could not tell all this to you, but it's so amazing. Now, so if the leopard cannot change his spots, then you cannot save yourself. Cry to the Lord today so that he saves you. the voice that Job heard. Do you know whose voice it was? Jesus of Nazareth. It is Jesus who was speaking to Job. Answer me. And here now, this Jesus, John was familiar with the Son, just as all of us are just familiar with the Son. He did not know about the red super giant. But when he saw him in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, this is what he said. Revelation 1, 16, John says, in his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. Yes, that's what John knew, because he knows the sun. Do you know any other thing that shines? We know the sun. But the truth is, Jesus shines brighter than all those stars joined together. Jesus that we serve here shines brighter than all those super giants. Not to imagine the glory of Christ. That's why in heaven there'll be no sun. And the reason why you cannot face him in this flesh, we need to be transformed first. Friends, these things are not a joke. Come to the Lord. Beg him to save your life. Cry like Job today. God is calling you to know of his power, so that will help you to hate yourself, hate your sins, and then repent in dust and ashes. When I was listening to the testimony of my brother Caleb this morning, it's amazing what the Lord can do. And on the other side, the devil, the Satan that you love, you cherish, is there just to ruin your life. Now my brother cannot use his good degree. Oh, how bad you are, Satan. After studying for years, and you cannot use it. Satan, you love. He will give you wealth. At the end of the day, you find yourself with zero. Give your life to Christ. Cry to him. And especially I fear so much for you who believe you are born again. But you sin the way these other people sin. No difference. And what are we going to do about self-righteousness? You are too holy. You are too holy. Maybe even you feel you don't want to step on this soil. May the Lord reveal himself more to you, so that we understand that all of us are still sinners. Don't hate your brother, your sister, because you think they are not like you. No. Pray for them. Proclaim the gospel to them. And the Lord will bring them to your level and take you together to what he wants you to be. Father, we thank you for these words. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.